So note that he does not have to convert. He does not have to become a Christian, unlike his medieval ancestors, who clearly, to separate themselves from the Jewish tradition, were forced to enter the Christian world. In this case, it was possible to remain a Jew on the margins, a Jew not identifying with institutions of Jewish life, but nevertheless, not to become a Christian. And I think that is extremely noteworthy in terms of the biography of Spinoza. In 1670, he composed the work that is most crucial and relevant for our purposes, the Theological Political Treatise, printed, as I said, in 1670, but leaving off his name. For a while, therefore, he tried to hide his authorship. Clearly, the work was controversial, and he knew it well. And clearly, primarily not concerned about offending Judaism, which he had long departed, but clearly not to offend Christianity. Because as we will see, the arguments he makes with respect to Judaism, his hostility to Judaism, can clearly be interpreted as hostility towards Christianity as well. But clearly, the Jewish community could not hurt him, but nevertheless, he was very careful in not printing his name. Spinoza's significance to Jewish thought is that he represents the first to totally break from the tradition of medieval Jewish philosophy as personified by the great 12th century Spanish philosopher Moses Maimonides. And perhaps we should say a word about Maimonides, even though he is not really a figure in our course. But his name seems to appear and reappear throughout the 17th, 18th, and 19th century, as we will see. Maimonides clearly represented an enormous culmination of thinking about Judaism that emerged in the early Middle Ages and had reached a pinnacle in the 12th century. Living born in Cordova, moving eventually to Egypt, where he became the chief physician of the vizier of Egypt under the Islamic rule, Maimonides wrote a remarkable guide to Jewish law, but the work that he is most well known is his guide to the perplexed, Moreh Nevuchim in Hebrew, Guide to the Perplexed, a remarkably important work that was written originally in Arabic, translated into Hebrew, and eventually into Latin, and had a great impact upon Western culture and Western civilization. The guide was an attempt to deal with the problematics of faith versus reason. How, as a rational person steeped in Aristotle, can I maintain my faith in Judaism and in Jewish belief? And clearly, Maimonides, who confronted an entire Jewish tradition, felt the need somehow to reconcile, to fuse, to bring these cultures together, to show that indeed there was a compatibility, there was a possibility of fusing the Mosaic tradition with the tradition of Aristotle and Plato. What emerges out of the guide is a very complex and subtle and unique work, which attempts to leave us with a kind of scholastic mode of thinking, which indeed influenced such scholastics like Thomas Aquinas, in that it is possible to maintain a rational mode of faith. Rationality and faith, a belief in God, a belief in divine providence, a belief in the notion of creation out of nothing, all of these ideas which were part and parcel of the Judeo-Christian tradition, could be explained rationally. It was possible to find a way in which Aristotle and Moses somehow could cohere. What is new about Spinoza is that he is the first to argue that that notion of a rational faith is really not possible at all. Indeed, if you want to be rational, if you want to be philosophical, then be philosophical. If you want to believe in God, if you want to accept the assumptions of the Bible, the Old Testament, the Tanakh, whatever you want to call it, then do so. But don't understand the two as being alike. And don't try to impose your rational view of the world on a biblical text, which by its very nature is not rational. Indeed, the first thing you can learn as from Spinoza as a reader is let us read the text in terms of what they say, not what we imagine they say, not what we have to superimpose upon these texts. Let us simply read them for what they say, and we will come to this very distinct conclusion. The other aspect of his newness is his political context. We are speaking about a world of the 17th century where the ideal is the Protestant state, not the Mosaic theocracy, where church and state were together.